Place to be, Nation. Welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I know we were out for a little while with the, you know, the summertime blues, but I think we've shaken off the blues a little bit as we finally finished up free agency, all the transactions. We just finished up with the Rio de Janeiro Summer Olympic Games with the men's and the women's team playing. And we're in the thick of it again as we want to talk about some off-season things and a bit of a funner episode, a little bit more of a unique format for this one. So I hope you're going to join us for the ride. My name is Andrew Reich. I'm one of the co-hosts of the show. And I am joined by my other co-host, Adam Murray.
It's been a nice little vacation.
Yeah, last year we did the same thing. I think what happened is we took a month off right before Banana Boat happened with DeAndre Jordan. So we went in with the notion of, well, DeAndre Jordan's going to the Dallas Mavericks, and then we came back a month later and and we had to kind of reassess everything but it was already like the middle of August, I think. We just took a decent little break, you know. Obviously, a bunch of things have happened since the last recording which we did, which was like a week into the free agency with the...
Yeah, but all the main pieces... free agency was so fast this year. By the time, who was left by after the first week? Like, Jared Sullinger and...
Yeah, a lot of qualifying offers getting pulled, like Deion Waiters and poor Lance Stephenson looking for work. You think those Instagram videos of him working out by himself are helping?
Well, just, you know, there's a reason head cases aren't in the NBA anymore, and it takes a real talent to overcome that. And, you know, he'll go to China, and then he'll be on a playoff team when that comes. Some, you know, Houston Rockets or 8th seed, you know, oh, we need somebody, so.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of the actual NBA transactions as we go forward with our season preview. Can you believe our season previews are always actually almost here? We usually do them. We do them in September. You know, on a week to week basis until we get to the start of the season. It's just unbelievable to me that we're really not that far away from the beginning of the season in November.
Well, as it is, we're already in the thick of NFL preseason. It's like, well, where did that come from?
Well, not just that. You've got the Olympics. So I mean, to be totally honest, we're recording this right before they play their gold medal game against Serbia, which is the same team that they had beaten in the FIBA World Cup in 2014. This team not as good, but they did beat Spain in the semifinal, which was impressive, because even though Spain's not the same without Marc Gasol and, you know, Rudy Fernandez, like, literally looks like an old man, which is unbelievable, because I remember when he was dunking over Dwight Howard when he was younger. But, you know, it's still pretty impressive to beat Spain. Pau Gasol's there. But, I mean, there's been a lot of criticism about that team. Is there anything that kind of worried you, or was there any kind of major takeaway really quickly
team?
No, about the U.S. men's team.
Oh, the U.S. men's team was just horribly built. Coach K looks totally disinterested. All they picked were ISO players. You need, you know, point guards. And there's a reason, like, you know, Kenneth Faried made a name for himself because he was a player perfect for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, well, let's just get, like,
energy guys.
And DeRozan and, you know, Durant, who, it's like, well, their games don't translate. That's why Carmelo is, you know, the greatest Olympic player of all time, it seems.
I think the worst omission, but not because the U.S., you know, USA basketball did, is because he voluntarily backed out, was Russell Westbrook. I think a guy like Westbrook would have infused so much energy into that team that everybody else would have fed off him. Even though a lot of people criticize Westbrook at times for, you know, kind of being a little me first, kind of his usage being a little high sometimes with the shot taking. But sometimes you need guys. I mean, look at Carmelo. There's been a lot of moments in those games where Melo really had to go out and make a really tough shot so that they could kind of, you know, shake off a little bit of a malaise. You know, so you need guys like that. That's why I think Kobe was so good in the Olympics, because you need guys like that just want to take really tough shots and make them.
Well, the thing about how the team would be different with Curry, Westbrook, Harden, LeBron, and
Anthony Davis
and Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys are perfectly built for, you know, their skill sets. But it's just like, well, now you got DeMarcus Cousins. Well, he's a beast, but it's kind of hard if you're playing, you know, Croatia and their center feels like shooting threes.
Yeah, brooding bigs, even though there's no 5-second rule in the center, or a 3 second rule, I think, in the cylinder. There is none in FIBA, but or international ball, but it's tough for brooding big men like DeMarcus Cousins. DeAndre Jordan has had some decent outings, but you know, overall, you know, it's just a really good U.S. men's team, likely to win the gold medal. If they don't, obviously, we'll talk about it on the in a future episode. But we'll kind of touch on some of the Olympic performances for some of these players as we go into the previews for their specific teams. But we want to go ahead and get started on a special topic that actually Mr. Murray, you know, for once was the one who spearheaded this kind of little out of nowhere topic. So why don't you just go ahead and kind of give us an idea of what you were thinking of when you pitched this?
Well, we can only have talk about the same issues everybody else does for so long. Okay, so here's the scenario. The NBA, you know, being wild and crazy like they are, they said, let's just give an expansion team for next year. Let's shake things up. Let's, you know, we feel sorry for Seattle or, you know, Las Vegas. We want their gambling money. So let's just put a new team in. So now we're just going to have a new fan. You know, we need a new expansion draft.
Okay, so you want to add an expansion team to the NBA, to the league, to the NBA.
Yeah.
In the year 2016.
Why not? Hockey just did it, so NBA is like, well, we can expand a little more.
The NHL added another team?
They added Las Vegas.
Oh, so Las Vegas is not a relocation? Because I'm so confused with, like, the Phoenix Coyotes trying to get out of their area and, you know.
No, the thing with hockey is the teams want to move, but the NHL, the offices don't want them to move.
Oh.
Because it's, you know, you have Florida and Arizona, they're like, well, we don't have people coming in. We're not making money. Then we want to move to Canada. They're like, no, you stay there. It's cool. We won't sell to people who, you know, want to move.
And that's actually a good point because this doesn't count. Like, there's a big difference, obviously, between a relocation and an expansion. Like, some people might, you know, just kind of not unknowingly say the Oklahoma City Thunder, but that was not an expansion team. That was a relocation of the Sonics, obviously. So, Let's go ahead and just kind of give ourselves a figurative name for our expansion franchise, because what we're going to do is we're going to have an expansion draft. You know, now, I think the most recent one we had in pro sports before, obviously, the one with Las Vegas and the NHL, was the Charlotte Bobcats in 2005. The Houston Texans had one, but that was way back in 2002. You remember when the first pick was Tony Boselli?
Way back 3 years ago. 3 years before that.
Yeah, exactly. And so then the most recent expansion that we know of is the Charlotte Bobcats at the time when they were owned by Robert Johnson, who was like the owner of BET. He eventually sold his stake to the minority owner, who's now the majority owner, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And so let me go all the way back with the expansion teams, you know, where we had, I believe, 23 teams in the 80s. In the 1980s, there was like a huge infusion of talent, you know, across the board. You know, you had way too many rounds in the draft. People were just stockpiling, you know, as much talent. Like the Lakers and the Celtics, we all know all those stories about how much talent they had up and down their roster. There's no reason to repeat it. But basically, they added, I believe it was four teams. It was the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic, the Charlotte Hornets, and was it the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Timberwolves, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, three in the East and one in the West. And then after that, and I will say this, when they added the four teams in the late 80s, it didn't worry me as much because there was a lot of talent. Those teams all, except for Minnesota, became legitimately good within a matter of about 2 to 3 years. You know, Charlotte had Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning. Orlando got Shaq and then Penny after they traded Chris Webber. And then the Miami Heat had Chris Glenn Rice and Steve Smith. With Minnesota, Garnett didn't come until like 95. However, when they did the expansion in Canada with Toronto and Vancouver, that kind of worried me. Was there a point of saturation for you with the expansion teams? You can even talk about Charlotte 2005. Was there a point where you're like, okay, this is not good for the league? We're gonna have too many bad teams.
No, it's just a matter of, you know, you pick Vancouver and you have Seattle, who's like an hour away, and it was just sort of there was like, you know, other markets that could have used a team. And, you know, obviously Vancouver squandered it by trying to be cheap and not building a fan base. And,
Yeah, you can't build a fan base if you don't have good players coming in.
And they wouldn't give them a new arena, basically, you know, which is the killer.
Well, you're not getting a new arena because you're not drawing people. We're not drawing people because we decide to, you know, draft shitty players. And it was just a cyclical thing. And
yeah, it didn't help that their first pick was Bryant Reeves. Now, the thing is that the expansion, I mean, I remember when the Houston Texans became an expansion franchise, they got the number one pick, but they picked David Carr with it. They got over it later. But for the Toronto Raptors and the Vancouver Grizzlies, and then also the Charlotte Bobcats, I think it was automatically slotted that they don't get the number one pick, that they get like one of the top picks in the lottery, but they don't get number one.
Like four or five.
Yeah, like Charlotte was second. Like Charlotte was second, and they got Emeka Okafor instead of Dwight Howard, which, let's be honest, you know, that's a big deal. Like, if they got Dwight Howard instead of Emeka, then, you know, maybe a lot of things would have been different for Charlotte. You know, it's one of those what ifs. And then for Toronto, they got Damon Stoudemire, who was the rookie of the year, even though the team was, oh man, I don't know if you remember, but those late 90s Raptors teams were just garbage. The Vancouver teams were worse, but Toronto was not far behind, being run by Isaiah Thomas, and I can't remember who the head coach was even. I think it was Brendan Malone was his name. It was just a really, really bad team. But for this expansion team, let's just go ahead and give ourselves our own, you know, our cities that, you know, because what are the two cities we usually think of when we talk about the NBA and where they want to go? I think you mentioned two of them, Las Vegas and Seattle.
Vegas and Seattle. Obviously, you could say, well, Kansas City and
Pittsburgh. And hear that one a lot. Madrid. Sometimes we hear Madrid.
Well, it'd be like the NFL. London. London needs a basketball
team. Yeah, London needs, like, the NFL and their phony odyssey to own a European football league, which will never, ever, ever happen, you know?
Mexico City, San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they had the Clippers, and then they moved to Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
They do have a decent fan base with the Aztecs, but that's just a college town, you know? It's not an NBA town. I mean, even the Chargers are trying to get out of there now.
Well, that's just NFL. That's just stadium politics, which...
Well, the most recent relocation attempt was probably Sacramento, and the key city that was trying to get back in the mix was obviously Seattle. So I'll take that one, and I'll call them the Seattle Apologists. Can I call them Seattle Apologists?
Sure.
And then I'll give you the Las Vegas FanDuels.
Sure.
Because we can't do the Gamblers or the Outlaws because that's just too normal. We need something that's really corporately synergized. So I'm going to just give you the Las Vegas FanDuels.
Okay.
Because FanDuel is the NBA one, right? Is DraftKings the NFL one?
They're just the Pepsi and Coke of fantasy sports, which are now slowly getting regulated everywhere and now being legal and...
Yeah, we did a little show about that way back, I think, in December, when we were talking about the regulation rules that were being laid down about the gambling.
But as long as they don't have those commercials every commercial break.
Well, we're almost there. We're clocking in at August 21st right now. So
I hope we don't have that.
The countdown is on. We just had didn't we have a 24-hour fantasy marathon on ESPN with, like, Matthew Berry and Frank Caliendo?
I'm basically on an ESPN boycott.
Me too. Like, literally in August, I go to Podcastville. I pop the headphones in my phone now, and my little block speaker, and I don't even listen to, like, the ESPN affiliates. Like, I love college football. You know, I get into all that mix all the time with LSU. You know, the Saints sometimes, but, you know, when it comes to the ESPN coverage, I just try my hardest to stay away. Thank God for the Olympics, because the Olympics has kind of filled that void in the month of August that a lot of sports fans have while they're getting ready for football. But
hey, there's baseball. That's the American pastime, right?
You still like baseball, though, huh? Like, you know, like, who the good teams are, or...
Montreal still has a team, right?
Like, I know A-Rod did something, you know, like, where he's not playing anymore, but something else, or... something. I don't know. I'm terrible at
baseball. Somebody won, somebody got busted for steroids, somebody lost.
Yeah.
It's all, but going back to the expansion draft, the rules are each team can protect 8 players...
Yes.
Expiring deals don't count, so those get tossed out. So
now we do have to talk about the fact that not only are expiring deals, when we put that into perspective, it means that their contracts expire at the end of the 2016-17 regular season, so that at least the expansion franchise can at least get guaranteed 1 year or more than 1 year of a specific player.
Yeah, so somebody like Steph Curry, who's going to be a free agent, well, his, you know, he can't be protected or unprotected. He's just not part of the mix.
And then and it also deals with the rights of the teams. You know, you have to claim those players. So for example, if you have player so say Paul Millsap, because we're going to actually talk about the Hawks first alphabetically, because we're talking about the Eastern Conference in this version of the draft. Paul Millsap has a player option. And it's a decent one. It's a $20 million option, but he's very likely to get out so that he could try to get more than $20 million on his next deal. But that does not mean you can count him as an unrestricted free agent, because you can't decline the option until the season is over. So as of this moment, Paul Millsap has another year on his contract.
Yeah, Millsap has a 2-year deal. You know, the assumption is the player will pick up the option, because that's what they used to do back in the day.
Yes.
So
now with the new money, everybody's opting out of old CBA deals so that they can get the new revenue deals, you know. But, you know, also qualifying offers, even for restricted free agents, those people are considered players that the team still hold the rights for, which will make for some interesting choices as we go through the show, because there's a lot of people at the end, right near the end of their their rookie contract.
Well, players at the end of the rookie deal just become the Seattle
free agents.
They don't have bird rights anymore. They're just now unrestricted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, you draft a player in the last year of his rookie deal, it doesn't matter. He's now an unrestricted. You can't loom over and give matching offers. So that's that.
But what it is that the teams still have to protect those players for the original
those
team.
Are still options.
They're not exempt. Like if the expansion team wants to select a player who's in the last year of his rookie contract, they can. You know, but you're, like you said, you're running the risk of, you know, of them bolting. But and then team options, the same thing as player options, and I believe it's one player per franchise. So you can't take, like, say there are two players that are not on the protected list. You cannot take two of them from one team.
Well, yeah, we look at, let's just say, Denver. They're very stockpiled and very deep. You can't be like, well, I want two players from that team. No, you take one, and now Denver's off the table. And at the same time, every team has to put somebody up. So we'll get to the case where Golden State, they only have, I think, 7 players. Well, they still need to unprotect one for the sake of the expansion draft.
Exactly.
Expansion draft, in theory, you could take as much salary as you want, but the team has to operate on a, you know,
two-thirds of the salary cap.
So we're doing the rules of, look, we're not going to, you can't just draft all the expensive people.
Because here's what we're going to do for the show. We're going to do our own sets of protected players, and we're gonna match them up, and me and Adam are gonna decide are gonna see which ones we think would be protected, and if we have a disconnect, we're gonna, you know, kind of talk about why, as a referendum for each team, which, you know, almost works like a little bit like a team preview, like a mini team preview before we get to the heavy hitting stuff in September. But the thing with that is that you can't, like, for example, like, say I like, selfishly, you know, want a super expansion team, and I'm like, oh, well, Kevin Durant is unprotected, and LeBron James is unprotected, so I want them. Well, you can't do that because the salaries would go so far over the cap, it would be impossible to keep.
Well, yeah, and this is sort of acting like a long-term preview. Mm-hmm. Where do these players sort of fit in these teams' plans? They might not be for this year, and as you will see when we get a couple teams in, oh, I see why Team X would protect player.
And you might be surprised. I might be surprised by Adam, and Adam might be surprised by myself of, like, what players might actually wind up unprotected, because I looked at the list, and there's a couple of names out there that make close to $15 million or more that will be out there. You know,
and there's a lot of tough choice at the end. Like, who will be that last player you're going to, you know, you only can pick, You only 15, can pick right? eight, so yeah. Who's going to be that eighth one? Who's going to be the ninth one that falls? So,
and the team limit is 15, right? The roster limit?
You could draft 14 players.
14, okay. So I know exactly the 15th player I want to cut out, so that's good. We'll reveal our rosters at the end of each episode for the players from the Eastern teams that we pick, and then on part two for the players from the Western team that we pick, and then we'll just kind of mix and match. I mean, breaking news, these teams are probably not going to be very good. I mean, they could be as good as you can try to make them, but it's, you know, I mean.
Well, just going back to the NFL, look what happened.
I think we'll do better than Bernie Bickerstaff.
He was just horrible. But the NFL, Jacksonville made the playoffs in the first year because they wanted to win team now. Carolina said, let's just draft, you know, the expansion, let's pick younger players. And so every team has a strategy. So it's, well, do you want to pick, you know, nobodies?
That's a good point. Didn't they both make the conference championship game in the same season? Jacksonville and Carolina?
Is it the same season or one season apart?
It was. Remember, Jacksonville lost to the Patriots in New England in the old Foxborough Stadium, that old-timey one. I don't even know what it was called. And then the Panthers had beaten the Cowboys, and they lost to the Packers in Lambeau. And then the Packers beat the Patriots in the Superdome.
1996.
January 97. Yeah, somewhere right around there. I remember Kerry Collins was a future Saint, also a Giant. He played for the Panthers at the time. Kevin Green, everybody knows Kevin Green played for the Panthers because he was on WCW all the time with his Panther colors. And then there was the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had Mark Brunell, who was like the second coming of Steve Young for a few years, huh? He was a beast for like a good 2 or 3 years.
All right, so let's get into it.
Yeah, let's stop talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers. Let's go ahead and just get right up to it. We're going to go in alphabetical order, not disregarding the divisions for the Eastern Conference. And we're going to start with the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks have a boatload of free agents. So, you know, the interesting part for them is the fact that they have right off the top, these are the players that aren't going to be eligible to be protected because of their free agency. Tiago Splitter, Kyle Korver, Chris Humphreys, Thabo Sepulveda, Mike Scott, and Mike Muscala, and Jarrett Jack. So let's go ahead, and what I'm going to do, and we'll kind of switch spots on this, is that I'll go with a name, and you tell me if he was protected or not on your list, okay? Ready, Adam?
Let's just go with the common sense ones first. You know, yeah, we have Howard, Millsap, and Bazemore. Those are the three big names. So.
Yeah, well, Bazemore, they just got to the 4-year, $70 million contract, which is a lot, but they do value him at small forward.
They value him, plus, you know, he's just... The operating assumption is, can we be without this player right now? Can we, you know, yeah, we lose his salary, we get a trade exemption from it,
and can you afford to lose him for nothing?
Yes.
That's the other part. Dennis Schroeder, this is for the number 4 slot.
Of course, they're going to protect him.
I mean, they just traded Jeff Teague. It would make no sense to, you know, and if he was out there, he'd get picked in a heartbeat. Torian Prince, their rookie at number 5.
Torian Prince and Bembry, you have to protect both of them because...
You know what's funny about that, though, Adam? The timing of it is huge because, say, for example, you know, it was 2014, and Adrian Payne was their new rookie. Well, they would have protected Adrian Payne, you know, because they just don't know. It's sight unseen, you know. They had some summer league play, but, you know, you don't want to just totally give up on a rookie right off of the bat, you know. So a lot of these guys are going to be protected, even though maybe in 2 years it'll be kind of abundantly clear that either Bembry or Prince might not cut the mustard, and maybe they would let them explode, but because of the fact that they're coming right in, you don't want to just give them away for nothing all the time. It depends on how many slots that you have, though, and how many unrestricted you have. So Bembry and Prince take up the 5th and 6th slot, so we're down to 2, and here's who we have left, and it's very lucky for Atlanta because they have so many free agents, but they just got under the wire with kind of like their core. So here's the 3 that we have left. Tim Hardaway Jr., their new free agent who had played internationally, he's an American player, Malcolm Delaney, a guard. And then the last one is Walter Tavares, very, very big guy.
Also, if you're just doing the math at home, Atlanta has 16 people. The only one who doesn't have a guarantee is Mike Scott, so...
Well, yeah, Mike Scott is kind of in that situation where he's looking at the tender, but he hasn't taken it yet.
Well, he has it, but it's just he has no guaranteed money. The team hasn't, picked it up yet.
Yeah.
So odds are he'll probably be the last cut. So he's irrelevant. So it comes down to Tavares or Hardaway.
Okay. Well, so you think that they would keep
Delaney.
So you think Delaney's safe because he's sort of he's a new cat. They don't want to let him out immediately. Tim Hardaway Jr., they're already looking at that as one of the worst trades in the last few years, where they traded a first-round pick for him in 2015 during the draft. I think that eventually turned into Jerian Grant, who the Knicks later traded in the Derrick Rose deal. But, Tim Hardaway Jr., he barely got any play last year. He's I wouldn't call him unplayable. But, I don't want to totally give up on him, but he's only got 1 year left in his rookie deal.
He didn't do anything in Walter Tavares. He didn't do anything. He spent a lot of time in the
league. There's a really good chance his qualifying offer could be pulled, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s.
So it's safe to say Hardaway won't be protected.
He won't be protected. Now, so you say it's going to be Hardaway Jr. and maybe Tavares if Mike Scott, signs
that's the last two, and I think... Yeah. I would keep Tavares over Hardaway because Tavares is 7'2", and with Splitter going, he's a cheap contract. He's only $1 million a year. So I would keep Tavares over Hardaway if I were, the Hawks. Yeah.
So Howard, Millsap, Bazemore, Schroeder, Prince, not the late Prince, Torian Prince, DeAndre Bembry, Malcolm Delaney, Walter Tavares, you're saying those, or Mike Scott, I'm sorry, Mike Scott.
Whoever gets cut last, and
yeah,
basically anyone but Tim Hardaway.
The truth, though, is I probably wouldn't take Tim Hardaway Jr. anyway.
No, he's safe. So
I don't know when you want to reveal those. You want to reveal those at the end, or you want to just kind of go?
We can reveal them at the end and just say who would be an interesting. Who would you be intrigued?
Yeah, because some people might be intrigued on the players that we actually pick, but spoiler alert, I'm not picking Tim Hardaway Jr. Let's move on to your Boston Celtics, who had pretty decent movement on some of the, but the most interesting thing is that they don't have a lot of unrestricted free agents next year because let's just go down the line. They're the only ones that are unrestricted are Amir Johnson, whose team option they picked up, Jonas Jerebko, the same, and Gerald Green, who they put on not a minimum deal, but like a veterans, like
yeah,
kind of like a mini
minimum,
like a mini mid-level, I guess, type of deal. And so here's who we have, and we're just going to kind of go from the top. Al Horford, obviously, will be protected. Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, and that awesome deal where he only makes like $6 or $7 million a year for the next 4 years. Jaylen Brown, their rookie out of Cal, the number three pick. I'd be shocked if he was unprotected. Terry Rozier, who they do like as a backup point guard, even though they do have a gluttony of guards here. And then it sort of gets interesting. From my count, is that six so far?
We got seven. Horford, Bradley, Thomas, Crowder, Brown, Smart, and Rozier. So that leaves us with...
Or protected spot for about maybe five or six players.
Yep, and here's what makes this concept intriguing is, well, now you have one spot. Well, you have Zeller, you have Jordan Mickey, you have R.J. Hunter, you have Demetrius Jackson, you have Kelly Olynyk, and you have.
I don't think their feelings are going to be hurt if Jackson, Mickey, and R.J. Hunter go, even though they're on rookie deals. I think that would be okay with that. I think the intrigue there is we're coming down to the two bigs, the two white bigs, actually. Tyler Zeller and Kelly Olynyk. So do you think it kind of comes down to them two?
Yeah, those, the weird Demetrius Jackson signing aside.
Yeah.
Where we need a fourth point guard. They didn't...
So Jackson, Mickey, and Hunter are already unprotected. We're already
unprotected. So it comes down to Zeller and Olynyk. I'm going to say they keep Olynyk because of his stretch five abilities.
Here's the problem I have with Olynyk. He only has 1 year left until he goes into his qualifying offer. With Tyler Zeller, you just re-signed him for 2 years and $16 million. Now, those numbers, people, in the old money would go, what? You're giving Tyler Zeller $8 million a year, but I still think Zeller's got a little bit of value.
But, you know, the second year is a team option. And it comes down to, well, do you want a normal, just a 7-foot white guy big, or do you want a 7-foot white guy big who shoots threes?
Yeah, and with Zeller, you know, he is more of a power forward anyway. He can't play the five. Horford can play the five, but I see him more as a four in Brad Stevens' system. Would you agree?
As opposed to Amir Johnson being five, Horford's going to be the five.
Yeah, well, but Olynyk, you know, he's more of a – I guess you could play him as a stretch four, but he can relieve Horford at the five too.
Yeah.
You know, so the, I guess that's the intrigue with Olynyk, that you can switch him between the four and the five. A lot of people play the four and five anyway in today's NBA because it's so small now, there's so much small ball. But with Zeller, he's strictly a four. You can't put him in the paint and have him protect the rim. He's never been able to do that. He never will. Olynyk the same, but I think there's just a little bit more potential with Olynyk, even though you only get one more year before you have to start renegotiating an extension. So you would say you would protect Olynyk regardless of the fact that you might have to re-sign him for more money, just like you did with Zeller?
Yeah, well, you know, I see Olynyk as a bigger part of a potential Celtics future as opposed to Zeller. I'd be okay with exposing him. His signing just appears to be in case we make a deal, his $8 million will make some numbers work.
Do you think Olynyk would get the same money as Zeller, or do you think he'd get maybe a tad more, maybe like 9 or $10
million? Well, it depends if he gets injured, like he's done every year, or it depends if he finally decides, you know, to break out.
They love those three-point shooting bigs. So I know you're not the hugest fan of Olynyk, but he's got that little bit of stretch four value to him.
I would protect Olynyk over Zeller.
Okay.
And the way this roster, you know, so we left Zeller, Mickey, Hunter, Jackson, and Young, who I don't even have him making the team.
James Young might not even, like, he might not even make camp. They just might let him go. You can't keep bringing him to the main Red Claws. I mean, eventually you got to prove something, and he was terrible.
Well, they got
summer
16
league.
Guaranteed contract, so.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a cluster there, but they know what they're doing.
Needless to say, for an expansion team, somebody like R.J. Hunter, Jordan Mickey, who's just, you know, a hustle rebounder, Zeller, or Demetrius Jackson, those are very intriguing pieces.
Well, Jackson especially because he's on a four-year contract. You know, whereas with Mickey, he's got three more years, but, you know, I think he was a second-round pick just like Jackson. R.J. Hunter was a first-round pick.
He was a late first-round pick, so he only has – you know, one, you know, his salary numbers are pretty similar too.
Yeah, but neither of them were really that good. But then again, I mean, you're not, beggars can't be choosers. Like, you're
well,
not going to get
really
good.
Were they not good?
Players.
They just couldn't get on the court. And as we saw,
R.J. Hunter, R.J. Hunter looked awful in summer league. Awful. You know,
As we saw with Charlotte, they got, Gerald Wallace because, well, he couldn't get on the floor in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So young players that they could develop and they have time to, well, you're going to get your minutes. We're okay with you losing and learning how to play.
Yeah, but remember, you got one spot. So you can't. It's not like you can take Mickey and Jackson. Like, you got to take, or if you like Zeller enough, maybe you just take one of them. Or, you know.
But interesting pieces for Boston.
All right, let's move on to the Brooklyn Nets, who actually have quite a, you know, they did a bit of a reset of their own, but they have a lot of guys with, like, non-guaranteed second years, and just a handful of free agents, the unrestricted free agents in 2017. The main ones are Bojan Bogdanović, who we just recently saw play for Croatia in the Olympics, Gravis Vasquez, Luis Scola, and I think that's it. There's a lot of other guys who have, like, non-guaranteed second years, like Joe Harris and Anthony Bennett and Yogi Ferrell and Bo Beach. Like, a lot of guys that, you know, that really aren't that, like, aren't
now, also, we're doing
that
this
interesting.
We're doing this in training camp, so you're allowed to bring 20 people into
training camp.
So,
and even though you might have a non-guaranteed second year, that's still a second year.
Well, they also have pretty much non-guaranteed first years. And just, well, here's, you know, here's 50
training camp.
Grand.
Yeah, training
Don't
camp.
Go overseas.
Kind of like JaVale McGee with the Golden State Warriors. Like, just kind of a keepsake of, like, hey, come on over. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah. So, you know? Brooklyn seems to be one of the easier teams where everything falls. You have your rookies of LeVert, Hollis Jefferson, McCullough, and Whitehead. Obviously, you're going to protect them.
Yes. And Brook Lopez, even though they are rumors have been abound that they've been trying to trade him, I don't think they would let him go for free. So they
wouldn't let him go for free. Jeremy Lin is now their new cornerstone. And Trevor Booker was sort of their marquee signing, but besides Lin.
Still doing the grainy shots, Trevor Booker?
Oh, he's a hustle guy.
If he could master that grainy shot, he'd be a pretty efficient player.
Yep, so that and basically our last four for them are Joe Harris, Anthony Bennett, Justin Hamilton, and Sean Kilpatrick.
I would not let Sean Kilpatrick walk in the open market. They actually used him a lot as a fill-in during like the doldrums of their regular season. So I would definitely keep him.
So Brooklyn seems to be an easy pick. We'll expose Hamilton, Anthony Bennett, who, you know, he played well enough in the qualifying tournament for Canada to make it back in the NBA.
Yeah, he obviously went with Brooklyn. He was with Toronto before that. Toronto let him go. You know, Joe Harris was at Cleveland, I think Joe Harris being moved had a lot to do with the fact that Cleveland had to make some room for like Channing Frye, and now.
Well, the problem was he wasn't a 35-year-old aging all-star.
And you're even though he's a second round pick, which doesn't necessarily mean he's of the highest value, you would not let Isaiah Whitehead be exposed.
No, he and Kilpatrick will be the shooting.
Okay, so our unprotected players here for Brooklyn, we're looking at Joe Harris, Anthony Bennett, Justin. You know, Bennett's kind of interesting. Like, I would actually really look into it, even though he has proven close to nothing so far.
Like I said, the qualifying tournament for the Olympics, he played well enough to warrant that. Well, we'll take a rookie, you know, we'll take a veteran minimum flyer on you. So
yeah,
there's hope.
Yeah, kind of a ho hum type of roster there with the, you know, and like you said, everything falls into place, but it's a pretty bad roster anyway. We'll talk about them another time. Let's go on with the Charlotte Hornets. This one they only have three free agents that are going to be unavailable for this list, and that's going to be Roy Hibbert, who they just signed, Brian Roberts, who they also just signed, and Aaron Harrison, one of their rookies. It gets easy here. Nick Batum, yes. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who I'm not a huge fan of, but yes, like at $13 million a year, I would still keep him at small forward. They just re-signed Marvin Williams. They see him as sort of the cornerstone of their front court, so he's not going anywhere. Kemba Walker, no chance. Cody Zeller, I know you're not a big fan of Cody Zeller, Adam, but there's just no way they're going to let him go.
No, they're going to keep him.
Frank Kaminsky, they like, even though he's not the smartest player. Takes a few too many shots for a big for my keeps. But then it gets interesting. Now, here are the players that we have, because they don't really have that many free agents. Jeremy Lamb, Spencer Hawes, Marco Bellinelli, Ramon Sessions, Christian Wood, who they picked up after he was done in summer league with the Sixers, and Mike Toby, who's an unrestricted or an undrafted free agent out of Virginia. So, where do you go here with the last two protected slots?
Well, I would keep Sessions just from a Charlotte standpoint.
Need a backup point guard.
Yeah. There is no backup point guard.
Jeremy Lin's gone. Courtney Lee is gone. Yeah, you need a backup point guard. Yeah.
And the, you know, Spencer Hawes, they regretted signing him pretty much immediately.
Yeah, and I also have to mention, you have to factor in those free agents, because one of those free agents, like I just talked about, or two of them, are Brian Roberts and Aaron Harrison. So, like, say, for example, you lose them, then you definitely need a point guard to back up Kemba Walker just as a keepsake, which makes Ramon Sessions a little more valuable than he might usually be.
Yep, Christian Wood doesn't really, you know, he doesn't move, not saying he doesn't move the needle, but
people like him, but I don't know if they're going to like him enough to protect him in this situation.
Exactly, and, you know, Mike Toby, I had him over, Graham for the 15th spot because it's, you know, way too early to protect
him. Travion Graham from BCU. Yeah, might not even make the team.
So, basically, for me, it comes down to Jeremy Lamb or Marco Bellinelli.
And this is actually a little hard. They just picked up Bellinelli in a trade that kind of like bamboozled a lot of experts of why Charlotte even picked him. I guess they wanted to keep their 3-point shooting going after losing Courtney Lee and Jeremy Lin. But you know, he's still an interesting player. He's up there in age. He's already reached his 30s, and he's got two more years at $6.3 million a year. Jeremy Lamb just re-signed that deal. But here's the funny part. He was playing really well to start the regular season last year. They signed him to that extension at, you know, 3 years, $21 million. And then he sort of wound up in Steve Clifford's doghouse by the time they reached the playoffs. So now maybe some politics come into play. Is it possible that they just leave Jeremy Lamb unprotected because the coach just simply doesn't like him?
It's a mystery signing versus a mystery trade.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would keep Lamb because he's 24 as opposed to Bellinelli, who's 30.
Okay.
So even though, you know, Charlotte wants to win, but I would rather have the young guy who you saw potential in as opposed to Bellinelli, who's coming off a disastrous season in Sacramento, who, you know, okay, he's just a shooter. Well, his defense is going to start going away. Not that really he had much to begin with, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that extra year with Lamb doesn't hurt because of the fact that the age disparity, Lamb's so much younger. I will disagree, though. I think that Lamb is sort of on the way out there in Charlotte. I'm sure there is opportunity there to repair the relationship, but based on the rules of this fantasy expansion draft, this isn't being done at the end of this regular season coming up. This is being done right now.
Yep. So Adam, you're just kind of said, let's do it now. Let's get it all in place. Let's get this team up and running. We need it up.
So I'll say Lamb, and I say that Bellinelli, who they just picked up in the trade, gets protected because, you know, it's only two more years at $6 million a year. It's not a really damaging. It's not like a Pekovic type of contract where you're just like desperately just trying to get rid of it, you know. So I'll disagree on that one for it. So this will be one of our first ones where we sort of like, you know, it's really close though. You can make an argument for either way. You know, it's a legit argument for either way. Charlotte overall as a team is still in decent shape. I know you're not big fans of them. I like them a little more than you do. But you know, I think they're in decent shape with the roster that they have as it is.
Their roster is, you know, you gave 4-year deal to a 30-year old Marvin Williams. You have, you know, Bellinelli for 2 years who's 30. So you're putting a lot on these guys. Spencer Hawes, you know,
it's almost like the Portland of the East. Like it's almost like they're putting all their eggs in the core that they have. You know,
kind of. You pick up.
It's Hibbert a little different, obviously, because MKG didn't play at all, and they let Lin Lee and Jefferson walk. But it does feel like they sort of kept the core intact.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is Batum got what he did because of MKG not playing?
By the way, that French coach Collet, they were rumors that he might think about coming over to the NBA as an assistant coach. That's a terrible coach, man. Terrible. He barely played Nick Batum.
Well, it's
we're talking about France in the Olympics.
It's one of those where you know the same thing with Spain and Argentina. Well, you go with your old guys. If the old guys fail you,
well, they did. Well, they did.
On to Chicago.
All right, Chicago Bulls. Interesting team. But here's the thing. They have a lot of guys whose contracts come up in 2017. However, they're either restricted free agents, team options, or player options. So in reality, their only unrestricted free agents are and you know, the one interesting one that you had marked off was Nikola Mirotic, because I think that they still have his rights because he was a foreign prospect that they signed after he was drafted. But we're just going to go ahead and just put that to the side. Mirotic, Taj Gibson, and Cristiano Felicio, who I'm not even sure will be on the team by the start of the season, they are off the board. So now everybody else for the Bulls is potentially either protected or unprotected by the team. So now it gets a little bit interesting. Their new big three, can you call it a big three?
Their new...
Or is it the dysfunctional three? Or like what kind of three is this?
It's Robin Lopez and the three, you know...
The three amigos?
The three me-me-me's.
Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo. Yes. I mean, like, I don't... That would make no sense to leave him unprotected.
Same thing with Robin Lopez.
Sajo Bob, yeah.
And McDermott. Denzel Valentine you keep.
Yes.
Bobby Portis you keep.
Yes.
Jerian Grant.
I would protect Jerry and Grant, yes.
Okay.
But Doug McDermott? You know what? Here's the thing about McDermott. I was doing it under the assumption of my own notes about Mirotić and his free agency, but we're not counting that. So we're going to go ahead and mark off Mirotić. So now they have that eighth slot where they can protect McDermott without having to worry about Mirotić. You know, it's kind of a technicality thing, but, for this, it's a fantasy expansion draft, for Christ's sakes. So let's talk about the eighth spot just before we talk about McDermott. You've got McDermott, Tony Snell, Isaiah Cannon, Spencer Dinwiddie, I think may have already been cut, I'm not sure. And Paul Zipser, who they just brought in from Germany. He was originally drafted by the Cavaliers. I think this one's pretty easy. I think you would keep McDermott and let Snell go. He was one of the worst starting players in the NBA last year.
I would keep McDermott. I would also keep Isaiah Cannon. As who is, Dryan Grant or Cannon? Cannon has proved he could run the point.
Mm-hmm.
Grant's just
Cannon's a very good three-point shooter, too.
And if I need a backup point guard, if Rondo goes down or, needs some extended time, I don't want to give it to a rookie. I'm going to want to give it to Cannon.
You didn't like what you saw out of Grant with the Knicks in the small time that he was there?
He couldn't. I think everybody expected him to win the job, but he couldn't.
Yeah, you're right. He couldn't win it for Calderon, which is really, really sad because Calderon is like a far below average player now.
Yeah, it's Connor and was it Langston Galloway even beat him out. So.
Who's playing for the Pelicans now? So yeah, that's the Knicks situation. We'll get to them.
So you and I differ on Cannon for Grant, and I agree. Snell is sort of the odd one out.
Yeah, I protected Grant, and you did not. So you're saying Jerry and Grant's on your board for the expansion draft, and I'm saying Tony Snell. Well, Tony Snell's for both of us. You're just saying that Cannon is protected, which is kind of interesting. And I don't know where the buzz is really on Dinwiddie and Zipser. It is what it is. Zipser is truly a man of mystery. I've never seen him play.
It was a man of mystery. The fact that he came over this year, everyone's like, well, he'll be a developmental project if he comes over ever. And up there he is. What? Huh?
Okay. Champs are here. The champs are here. We're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay. LeBron James, unprotected or not?
Oh, well, that's why I protect LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie. Let's expose them all.
Yeah, let's just blow it up and start over since the Warriors are now going to win everything. There's no reason to be competitive. LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, Tristan Thompson, Iman Shumpert. We have a question mark on J.R. Smith because J.R. Smith is a human question mark. He probably has one on his chest.
He hasn't signed yet, but we're going under the assumption.
We're going under the assumption that he will sign a multi-year contract, probably around $9 million a year or more.
Yeah, so...
Which would put him way into the tax next year, but hey, that's Dan Gilbert's money, not LeBron's. So
who cares? They won, so...
We are the champions.
You bought your championship?
Just keep playing that Freddie Mercury song while you write that check. And then it gets interesting. The ones that are off the board automatically is unrestricted free agents next year are Mo Williams, who picked up his player option, James Jones, who they actually cut and re-signed, Chris Anderson, who's like almost 40 years old, and then Jordan McRae, who was like one of their – they had gotten him from Philadelphia, and he was like one of their last slot guys along with Dante Jones on the playoff roster. Looked good in summer league, though. Two more slots for protected. You've got Channing Frye.
I'll protect him easily.
Okay. And he has 2 years, $15 million. That's not too bad. Richard Jefferson, without Richard Jefferson, do they win the NBA championship?
He's collecting Social Security now, isn't he?
I mean, and James Jones was responsible for gathering the puzzle pieces in the locker room for that little ceremony.
It's one of those, nobody's going to, I don't think anybody would take him, as nobody wants a 36-year-old guy who's not going to provide on a team that's going to be horrible.
Well, that's true. But here's the thing, too. If you look at it like strategy wise, you could expose him and know for a fact that the expansion team won't take it. But here's the problem. We see this in the NFL all the time when a team wins the Super Bowl. How many guys from a championship-winning team get plucked on another team and overpaid?
Yeah, but those
all the time.
Yeah, those are usually not the stars, and they get over. You know, the middle guys become the top guys on other teams. It's like, well, you're just a middle guy, anyways. Mm-hmm. But this is, I don't think, a hard feeling. It's like, look, you're 36, Dunleavy, you're 35. Mm-hmm. We don't think an expansion team who has no chance of winning will take either of you. This is a no. You know, sometimes it's an ego thing. Like, look, we need to protect him because he might become, like, if we didn't protect J.R. Smith, I think there might be problems with him, you know,
yeah,
in the season. Like, okay, he might, you know, start to hold that against us. And
well, you mentioned Dunleavy, so because I didn't talk about him when I went to my spiel here. You got Jefferson, so it comes down to Richard Jefferson, who's got decent clout in Cleveland, even though he's up there in age. He just signed a 3-year, $7.6 million contract, probably partially guaranteed. And then Mike Dunleavy Jr., who they got from a trade exception when they did a sign and trade with Milwaukee when Matthew Dellavedova went to Milwaukee. So, do you just go ahead and let Dunleavy go, or leave him exposed?
Yeah, you just leave him. It's sort of a...
His back is all messed up, from what I've been told.
That's why it's one of those, like, it doesn't matter who, like, these players, like, it's sort of a calculated risk. Like, oh, we'll unprotect them. You know, we'd rather protect a younger guy who, you know, we don't want to lose, as opposed to them, as we're, nobody's going to take them. And I mm-hmm. think they're cool. You know, they're professionals to know, like, look, it's just a numbers game. Because who would you rather have, an R.J. Hunter or Zeller, or you want Richard Jefferson?
I would take the earlier.
Exactly. I would take so the earlier. There's no hard feelings. So basically, it comes down to the two names we have left are DeAndre Liggins and Kay Fielder.
Yeah, Kay Fielder is interesting. Like, I think somebody would take a chance on him, maybe. So maybe you could leave that out there in the open. DeAndre Liggins, no. Like, I mean, I could probably take a chance on him getting cut and getting him on a 10-day contract later. Let's move on to the Detroit Pistons. This one's actually pretty clean cut, but then when you get to the last protected slot, it gets kind of interesting. But let's start at the top. They have a core six, in my opinion, that just, like, GM Stan Van Gundy will absolutely not allow to be plucked away. Andre Drummond, obviously. Tobias Harris. Reggie Jackson, the point guard. Marcus Morris, who's sort of their stretch 4/3, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Stanley Johnson. Then it gets kind of interesting because they only have one unrestricted free agent next year, and that's Ray McCollum Jr., who they just signed. Like, they literally just signed him. So it gets interesting because they have a first round draft pick. That they might wind up having exposed because they also made a couple of other signings. Let's talk about the other ones for those last two slots. Boban Marjanovic, who they just got to a 3-year, $21 million contract. Aaron Baines, who we just saw play for Australia in the Olympics. Ish Smith, who they just signed. John Luer, who they signed 4 years, $41 million. Kind of a nice little carrot to dangle out there if you have regrets about instant regret about signing that deal. Just throwing it out there. Reggie Bullock, Henry Ellenson, who they just drafted in the first round. Darren Hilliard, a second round pick from 2015, and then their second round pick from 2016 was Michael Gabinage. Who are you protecting here?
I would protect Luer.
Okay, so you think Stan likes Luer enough and is committed enough that he'll keep him? Do you think he sees him as, like, another Ryan Anderson, like when he was in Orlando?
Yeah, plus he's really, you know, Drummond's a straight five, so you need, you know, sort of the Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris change of pace guy.
Okay, and you think that's what he's envisioning with Luer? Like, yes. like a right off the bench type of dude. Okay, so that's the seventh slot. Who gets the last spot?
I would give it to Henry Ellenson, as you know, you just drafted him and he fell to you.
Okay.
So
the rookie, the big man rookie out of Marquette. So you're protecting two shooting bigs and you're letting everybody else go. Attention.
I'm letting Boban, Aaron Baines, Ish Smith, which is a tough choice to let go.
Now, it doesn't mean that they're all leaving. It just means that there's potential that one of these people may leave.
Yeah.
You know? It was hard for me. I would say Lure. I would agree about Lure. But I would have actually protected Ish Smith because you need that backup point guard just in case. But that would expose Ellinson. I think we both agree, even though it's a bit of a risk, because you still need rim protection, because defensively Andre Drummond's not a great defensive player yet. He's a great rebounder. That you might be potentially letting Boban Marjanovic or Aaron Baines go. I'm not sure how many people are fond of Aaron Baines. People like Boban Marjanovic's PER, but he didn't play that much for San Antonio, so that might have been an inflated rating. And then obviously Hilliard, Gabinejay, Bullock, those would be unprotected players. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a difference in opinion. We both agree, though, that they would probably have to potentially leave Marjanovic and Baines out in the cold.
Well, I think if they expose Ellison, he would get taken immediately.
You agree? Oh, you think so?
I think that's why. Like, well, we need to protect him because he would be gone. And
so this is one of those calculated risk type of things.
Like, those guys might be taken, but if it was Ellison, well, definitely you get a rookie guy who, had fairly high marks on his draft card.
And here's where the cap situation hurts them. If you leave Ish Smith, Aaron Baines, and Boban Marjanovic out there, I'm telling you, one of those guys will get picked.
Okay.
I'm not sure about your team, but for my case, I think one of those guys would be picked. I protected Ish and let Ellinson out in the open, but it's an interesting situation. For Indiana, it's kind of like Indiana as a team, not very interesting because they get a little bit lucky with their free agency. They're unrestricted free agents that next year that they can't that they don't have to worry about. The first one is Jeff Teague. Now, this comes with a little tad of an asterisk because there's supposedly a wink-wink type of deal where once they finish up all the, all the trade stuff with Atlanta, that he would sign an extension, but he hasn't signed the extension yet. So by this nature, Jeff Teague is going to be an unrestricted free agent as of this time. So regardless of whether he signs the extension or not, it doesn't matter because he only has 1 year left on his contract right now. So Jeff Teague is not available for this whole thing. Aaron Brooks, who they just picked up, and Jeremy Evans, who they just picked up. Everyone else is on the list.
Everyone else on the list, but
it works out perfectly for them.
Yep, George, Thaddeus Young, Monta Ellis, Al Jefferson, CJ Miles, Lavoy Allen, Miles Turner are all part of their core.
Yeah, and they would be damn fools to let Miles Turner leave him exposed. Like,
yeah, and so it comes, who's our last five? George Niang, second round pick. Glenn Robinson, if he's not cut. Mm-hmm. Joseph Young, who didn't really do anything last year at Oregon.
And Lavoy Allen.
Lavoy Allen protecting.
Oh, you're protecting Lavoy Allen? Okay.
Yeah, Rakeem Crispus and Rodney Stuckey.
Okay, okay. Oh, wow, you're leaving Rodney Stuckey out there.
No, I said those are our last five.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you didn't, you think that he might not be protected, Rodney Stuckey.
Well, I'm saying, okay, who are you going to fight for? Are you going to fight for Rakeem Crispus? You like Joseph Young?
That's the thing. That's why it's kind of a slam dunk here for Indiana.
Yeah, it's a slam dunk. So Stuckey, I think, would be the last one to save, but there's a big divide.
Yeah. Well, it's just a technicality thing for me because my last protected, my number eight was Lavoy Allen. I didn't know you were that far down on Rodney Stuckey. But, not a lot of people are super fans of him in Indiana either.
Don't forget, he's now 30, and
he's got really $7 million left on two more years, like $7 million per year for two more years, and at 31
year was what, like 5 years ago?
So it was when he was with Detroit, yeah, back in 2012 or so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's sort of, he's sort of past his prime, but you know, everyone, the end of the bench is just literally the end of the bench.
So. Yeah, and if, and say, for example, we went with the notion that Jeff Teague signed an extension and he, we had to protect him, well, then the last guy might be either Stuckey or LaVoy Allen, and I don't think anybody's going, you know, bananas for either of those guys, to be totally honest with you. That's kind of an easy one. We're just going to go move past this one. This one is kind of fascinating, the Miami Heat. Let's just get this. Let's just get the elephant out of the room. Does Pat Riley leave Chris Bosh out in the open?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's just, he's just on FU after the Wade thing. It's just, at first I said no, in version one, I was like, no, he's going to protect him because it's sort of an ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, well, you get a $25 million trade exemption, and, you know, to him, that's gold.
Yeah, and there's a lot of strategy here, but there is a notion for some of these players being unprotected in this situation as signers regret. Do you think that the Miami Heat have any regret over that max deal?
No, because you didn't, you know, one can't predict heart problems,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, internal injuries.
But Riley, do you think Riley's deceptive enough that he would probably allow something like this to happen? Let Bosch go and get nothing in return.
Well, you get an exemption, and then you could give it, you could trade it to, you know, a team who wants to, you know, start over. You know, now they want three max contract guys next year. So here you go.
Yeah, the other guys are. It's kind of easy when you get to the top five, the top five slots. Hassan Whiteside, Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson. Even though Tyler Johnson's contract does not, because he signed an arenas provision contract, which is like, what that is when you are a restricted free agent as a second round draft pick or an undrafted free agent. And what it is that you're a restricted free agent after your second year. But what they do is they match they give you an offer sheet. But what happens is you can only get so much in your first 2 years, and then they really overload your third, fourth, and fifth years on the back end. And that's the kind of contract that Tyler Johnson got. So his next 2 years, 17 and 18, he's only making about like maybe $7 or $6 million a year, but then he makes up to $18 to $19 million a year the 2 years following that, which kind of scares me, but I would still protect him because you need a point guard and they like him.
Yep, it's this team is just easy. You know, Derek Williams, Udonis Haslem, James Johnson, Luke Babbitt are all off the list.
Oh, you're right. But, yeah, thank you for mentioning that.
So basically, Whiteside, Dragic, McRobert, Johnson,
Justice Winslow, and Josh Richardson, you cannot let go.
Deion Waiters.
Waiters signed a 2-year deal. That's second year is a player option, so he's available for being protected or unprotected.
But he's a cheap flyer, and as opposed to losing Wade, it's, you know,
or maybe you leave him out in the open.
Yeah, but who's?
Well, here's the thing. If you leave him out in the open, you lose him without even having him play for the team. You at least get 1 year out of him, and even if he exercises the player option or declines the player option, at least you got 1 year. This potentially, you might not even get a year out of him. You know.
You know, and after that, it's Josh Richardson, Willie Reed, and Beno Udrih. Okay. So, you know, Udrih and Reed, I think we're safe to say we can do without them.
What about Wayne Ellington?
I would keep Ellington.
At $6 million a year for the next 2 years?
If you're exposing Bosch, which we both are.
In my opinion, if you expose Bosch, you can protect Josh McRoberts. Now, Josh McRoberts is not setting the world on fire, but you need a backup big. You know, look who wound up playing a ton of minutes for the Heat when Whiteside went down with the knee against the Raptors. It was McRoberts. So, you need him. You really?
It's a calculated risk. You know, a team want to use, you know, 30% of its cap on one player, and you have 13 players to get, so.
Let me ask you this. Just as a hypothesis. If Udonis Haslem had a multi-year contract, would they have had to protect him, or could they have run the risk of having him get plucked at age 36?
Nobody wants 36-year-old Udonis Haslem.
So what you're saying is that, or maybe they could do one of those kind of tricky things where, I don't know what the rules are, but maybe the expansion team, you know, Seattle or Las Vegas, they can draft him, then they can buy out the contract and they can go back to the original team.
No, they can't go to the original team.
I know that breaks CBA rules, but, you know, that happens all the time, you know?
Can't go back to the original team, but nobody wants 36-year-old on a team who's looking for the future, and you have a limited budget on the first 2 years. You're not like, oh, I want a 36-year-old who I'll have to develop. I'd rather take an undrafted free agent and use his minutes as opposed to somebody who's not going to, you know.
Now, let's look at this on the Las Vegas-Seattle expansion draft side. If Chris Bosh is out there, you have to at least take a chance, right?
I would think that would be the hardest call in the room of do we take him or do we not take him? Because the health... Because
if it works out, you're looking at... this is crazy. But you might be looking at a potential Eastern Conference playoff team.
Yeah, and you're also potentially looking at if he plays, he can just collapse in the midcourt and that would be the end of it. So we don't even know if he's going to be allowed to play again, period. Mm-hmm. He still hasn't been cleared. He wants to play. Miami's like, no, you don't want to. We want your money.
I didn't ask your opinion about the Tyler Johnson thing. Does that worry you about that, or you would still protect him?
Oh, yeah, I have to protect him. They, you know, again, of the other options, you know, we're exposing Bosch. Would it be Bosch or Johnson? Well, I would keep Johnson over, you know, Ellington.
All right, let's go ahead with the Milwaukee Bucks. They have no unrestricted free agents. So the entire team is basically up for sale. So here we go. Let's get started. Let's get plucking, okay? First guy, bang, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Got to protect him, right?
Of course.
Jabari Parker.
Of course.
Chris Middleton, yes.
Of course.
Miles Plumlee, who is not everybody is a big fan of. Miles Plumlee?
I would say no.
Oh wow! So let's kind of get to the rest. Matthew Dellavedova, yeah. Mirza Teletovic, yes. I understand that. Thon Maker, you just drafted him. That makes sense. Greg Monroe, I would actually leave him exposed.
See, I would keep Monroe as he played when Antetokounmpo went to point guard. Monroe played better.
Yeah, but they're desperately trying to trade Monroe.
Yeah, but they're desperately trying to trade, not give away for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they can make it fit, and it's just, you know, I think that's our eight right there, actually.
What about John Henson on our end? I have this protected.
It came down to really Henson or Plumlee.
Okay, so and you said Henson stays because of the shot blocking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shot blocking, they have similar contracts, and
Henson's
2 years younger.
I actually protected Miles Plumlee, and I exposed Greg Monroe and Michael Carter-Williams.
Oh, I expose Carter Williams. That's not even a thought.
Yeah. I mean, it's not they have a lot of point guards anyway. But
Rashard Vaughn, that's sort of a tough one you have to go.
Yeah,
you
know, Tyler. Brogdon
is a second-round pick. Enes, meh.
Well, here's my one fear factor for what I did is that I exposed, like, all the point guards. Like, Michael Carter Williams, Tyler Enes, and Malcolm Brogdon are all
out there. Yeah, well, they can't take three.
That's true. So you at least get one. You know, Rashard Vaughn's more of a two, to be honest. You know, the one thing I wanted to mention about the Bucks, and I know you kind of made it more of like, well, Michael Carter-Williams is no good, but I wanted to sort of elaborate on it too. Another problem with that is that they got Michael Carter-Williams in a trade from Philadelphia, and he was the rookie of the year. Well, Milwaukee got Giannis in the same draft class, so, and this was going to come up again with another team that we're going to talk about in the Western Conference, but Giannis and Michael Carter-Williams are both going to be up on their rookie deals next summer. And we've already seen this with Dion Waiters in Oklahoma City. It is very hard to negotiate rookie extensions on guys that, you know, whose value is sort of a mystery, like Michael Carter-Williams. You don't want to, like, psych yourself out and give an extension off of a rookie contract to a guy that has shown flashes of potential but has not really shown it all. And with Giannis, you've got to give him what he needs. So getting Michael Carter-Williams out of the equation makes the process easier to re-sign Giannis.
Well, let's look at what happened to Portland this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have...
They really wound up in a conundrum with theirs.
Exactly. And, you know, you had those two guys. Next year, Jabari Parker is going to get paid after that.
That is exactly right. I was thinking about that, too, with Parker being a 2014 rookie. So
yeah, it just came out of me. Like, Plumlee or Henson, I'm like, they're sort of, you know,
either or. Monroe, they're going to keep. I think they're going to try to make it work with him.
Well, that's why that Monroe deal I still don't like, because he's got a second. He's got two more years. That second year, there's going to be an overlap where you got to pay him the $18 million, and then Giannis's new deal kicks in. Thankfully, they don't have to re-sign Jabari Parker yet, because by the time Parker gets re-signed, Monroe's contract will be off the books. And Middleton, is it fair to say they got Middleton at a discount?
A little, kind of.
Like about 12. It's like somewhere between like $13 or $14 million. Yeah, it's close. And Mirza Teletovic was actually a good deal. Like
his was a solid.
Three to go with Parker. Like it made sense, you know. And Dellavedova looked great for Australia. Great. Like I don't know if that means anything, but it does. What it does tell me is that in an expanded role, Matthew Dellavedova can do more than we thought.
Well, and that's why you can expose. You know, you think, well, if I have Dellavedova and Giannis is my backcourt, okay, I can. You know, let Carter Williams sort of expose him. But moving on to the super team.
The next NBA champions, the New York Knicks.
Yeah, according to Derrick Rose, and you know, the only thing I think is surprising that is, you know, he's only 27.
It's stunning. It's stunning. But that last year at $21 million is probably one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Yeah,
it is.
Now that money is sort of worthless in the NBA, that's same thing happened to Joe Johnson. And it would have been huge if the cap didn't go up so much.
Let's be honest. That fourth year for Noah, by 2020, is that a bad? Is that $17 million? Is that a bad contract?
Well, we got a 35-year-old Noah and a 34-year-old Courtney Lee.
Okay, let's just talk about the unrestricted free agents. Derrick Rose will be a UFA next year. So will Brandon Jennings, who they just picked up. Sasha Vujacic, who they re-signed. Justin Holiday came over from the Bulls trade. This one's actually, to be honest, fairly easy, but let's go through the motions. Carmelo Anthony, yes. Joakim Noah, yes. Courtney Lee, yes. Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn, yes. Willy Hernan Gomez played very well for Spain. I think that they're going to use him a lot. I would absolutely protect him. Lance Thomas, yes. Kyle O'Quinn, yes. You need backup bigs in case Noah breaks down. What about... Here's where it gets a little hard. They brought in a new... he's Greek, right? Mindaugas Kuzminskas?
Lithuanian.
He's Lithuanian. Mindaugas Kuzminskas. Who they just signed. He's 26 years old. Signed him to a two-year, $6 million contract. And then undrafted free agents like Maurice Endor, Marshall Plumlee, a third.
And Ron Baker.
Ron Baker from Wichita State.
So you keep Mindaugas
Kuzminskas.
Keep Mindaugas Kuzminskas over the three undrafted free agents. Yeah, fairly cut and dry.
And I don't think any. To be totally fair, I don't think any of them would get picked.
No, because it's just literally end of bench, unguaranteed guys. You know, the new team can pick up their own undrafted free agent guys. There's even a chance that those guys with their unguaranteed deals might not even make their final roster. They might be like, hey, maybe we do want Lance Stephenson.
And here's one where here's one where where timing kicks in too, where there's not that regret yet about signing Lee and Noah because they haven't had a year to watch them play together. Like maybe a year later they'd be like, you know, kind of like Greg Monroe in Milwaukee, like, oh, I don't know if this is working out. But they don't have the hindsight for that yet because the draft is going on now, not at the end of the season. So.
Exactly.
I was delay there. Let's talk about the Orlando Magic. This team is weird. Just the makeup of the team is weird.
The team is weird. It makes no sense. I don't even know how this team is going to play out. But they got lucky.
We'll talk about them in a second, but they could potentially be shockingly good or be a total fucking dumpster fire. You know, but we'll talk about why down the road. But the unrestricted free agents are Serge Ibaka, who they got in that trade with the Victor Oladipo on draft night. Jeff Green signed a 1-year, $15 million contract. Why? I don't know. I'm not the Magic. Jody Meeks, who I believe has a broken foot, so he's not even going to probably play this year. Everybody else is open season, so here we go. Evan Fournier, who they just re-signed, absolutely. Bismack Biyombo, who they just signed, yes. Nikola Vucevic, who some people have some kind of like doubts about whether he can fit with Ibaka and Biyombo, but I would absolutely not let him go. And his and at $11 million a year, he's a bargain.
Well, it's one of those, if Ibaka was on the table, now it gets a little interesting. So, that you know, he's off. Oh, simple choice. DJ Augustin, simple.
Not for me.
No?
No, because I hate that contract. It's 4 years, $7 million a year. He'll be 32, and he's already washed up.
All right. CJ Watson?
No.
Aaron Gordon?
Yes.
Hizanja?
Yes.
Payton?
You have to.
So, you like CJ Wilcox?
He's younger, and his contract does not cost as much. But you're potentially leaving out two point guards, so now you only have one. You might have only one backup point guard to CJ.
Steven Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, I would keep, you know, because you need one like a you need one more big, just one more true big. Do you think that kind of logjam with Biyombo and Ibaka and Vucevic makes it easy to let Zimmerman walk?
Zimmerman is just, you know...
He's so young.
He's young. He didn't... You didn't really... You know, he didn't stand out in the summer league and just, you know, big 7 foot guy, just, you know, the fifth big. He's not really gonna, you know, he's just... They're there to be picked out of the D-League.
So my unprotecteds are DJ Augustin and CJ Watson. I've seen enough of them bouncing from team to team to where I'm like, these guys have just no value. And I hate the fact that Augustin got a 4-year contract. So if you can get that off your books, great. Who do you have?
I left out Wilcox and Zimmerman. They're just,
wow.
Like I said, Zimmerman.
So we have like we have a total disagreement here. Okay.
Augustin, the way this roster is built, there's a reason, you know, they sort of dumped their youth movement.
And, well, they did more than dumped it. They trashed it.
Yeah, so I think that's part of the philosophy of the organization is let's bring in some veterans because we were too young and it showed we were too young.
Well, also on the side of Hennigan, the GM, it's got that stench of, like, we might get fired panic, you know?
Yeah, so that's sort of, you know, you take the veteran over the many rookies who don't know how to play, and that's, like, I don't know, we disagree, but we both have our reasons.
Let's talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. They don't have a lot of unrestricted free agents. They signed Sergio Rodriguez to a 1-year contract at $8 million. They got one more year of Carl Landry. I don't even know how much he's going to play. T.J. McConnell's on a non-guaranteed contract. You know, but you know, it's one of those players that probably picked up
McConnell and Marshall.
He's kind of like Dellavedova. You know how Dellavedova's picked up year after year after year for 1-year deals. That's kind of like what McConnell is for Philadelphia. Ben Simmons, yes, I mean, please.
Well, this team is fairly, even though they're a train wreck and they have 20 people.
Even Embiid, as mysterious as he is as a prospect. He's still of good value at less than $5 million or around $5 million a year. I wouldn't let him go for nothing, you know.
Oh yeah, Simmons, Embiid, Okafor, Noel, Saric, Luau, who I don't know why he came over this year. It didn't seem
now,
to make
he's,
sense.
He's got the other name. I think it's Timothy Luau Cabarrot.
Yeah, but Luau and Jeremy Grant. Those are all sort of the easy.
Jeremy Grant's a really good shot blocker. I would not let him leave for nothing. Yeah.
So that leaves us with Sauce Castillo, who I think we're both like, yeah.
Yeah, see you later.
You can have.
Yeah.
Jared Bayless, who you could, you know, he was their big signing this year, but we're not going to miss him. Rashawn Holmes, who, you know, overachieved sort of last year, but
yeah.
There's no room for him.
Gerald Henderson and Robert Covington sort of fight for the last spot.
You know, it's interesting with Bayless and Henderson because they were both kind of veteran signings, and they both signed very similar contracts. The one difference is that Bayless's is a year longer, I believe, and I'm not sure if that is a player. No, it's a guaranteed year, that third year for Bayless. So, here's the thing. Here's the reason. Here is my my train of thought with this one. Henderson, even though Bayless gets that third year at $9 million, which is kind of scary, I don't think it's going to affect him that badly because a lot of those guys are going to be on rookie deals in circulation. By the time you get to, you know, 2019, you can still afford all those contracts along with Bayless's $9 million. That's not, and believe you me, staying under the cap is not a problem for the Philadelphia 76ers. Henderson's a forward, a small forward. There's just too much going on there. And you might just want to weed him out. So I would cut Gerald Henderson. Or let Gerald...
Not cut, just expose. I would... I left out Bayless and Henderson. I'd keep Covington.
You would keep Robert Covington, who's got... You know, didn't he have that game where he had, like, 7 steals?
Yeah. He overachieved. And I'm like, well, they're... You know, it's... You can do without the...
But I'll say this. Even though Henderson might be out in the open, and that's kind of interesting, because, you know, he was like a perennial Charlotte guy, you know. And it wasn't that Charlotte was an expansion team in the early 2010s when Michael took over, but it kind of felt like one. You know what I'm talking about? Because you know how they went to the playoffs with Larry Brown that one year with Gerald Wallace and Tyson Chandler and Raymond Felton. And then they kind of went through another, oh, we suck phase, you know, where they didn't get the number one pick in 2012. And instead of getting Anthony Davis, they got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And it was kind of interesting. But Gerald Henderson was like the beacon of like, this a decent everyday player on a sucky team kind of guy. He would wind if he gets picked in an expansion draft, he'd be that guy all over again, only he would be in his 30s, you know.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he didn't do anything really. He bounced around and mm-hmm. you know, hurt his knee. So all right, moving northward to Toronto,
the Toronto Raptors, who
only two people off the list: Patrick Patterson and Jared Sullinger. This is sort of easy to the last cut, I think.
A lot of first round rookies would be out in the open. That's the one thing I've noticed.
Their core is their core. You had DeRozan, Valanciunas, Carroll.
But here's the problem. Their core and their youth movement are two completely different things.
Yeah, and it sort of shows in this list.
Yes.
Lowry, Terrence Ross.
Yeah, like DeRozan, Valanciunas, Carroll, Lowry, T-Ross.
Corey Joseph, those guys.
You've got to protect them. Like, you can't.
You're untouchable. Jakob Poeltl, first-round pick. They like him.
Yep.
You protect him.
Norman Powell at number 8. Like, absolutely. Like, cannot let him go for nothing.
All right, then that's our... That wraps up that conversation.
Well, let's talk about the ones that are out in the open just for the potential of, you know,
Lucas Najera,
the apologists and the fan duels, and see who they might pick.
Najera, nope. Caboclo might get
a flyer.
But they can't protect him. Pascal Siakam?
No.
Can't protect him.
No.
Fred VanVleet might not even make the roster. And basically, for me, it came down to Powell or DeLon Wright.
DeLon Wright is an older rookie, you know, which is kind of bad because in summer league he didn't seem like he was coming around, and he's 24 years old. You know, I mean, that's not very good.
But it's just one of those, like, you know, your core is too big. We have our top six, and then, you know, our prized young guys.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
But I love Powell. I think as dumb as this achievement is, I think he was all first team summer league 2 years in a row. You know, he also had
a
really good game.
Obscure stat.
It is very obscure. He was also really good in that game 7 against Indiana. Remember when he got the breakaway dunk when he stole the ball in the open court against, I think it was George Hill. It was either George Hill or Monte Ellis. It was one of them. But Norman Powell, I would absolutely protect. Absolutely.
Yep, that's simple. So now we come to a real tough one.
The Washington Wizards, who had a million free agents last unrestricted free agents this past season, and now they only have two. And they were these kind of very small you know, non-guaranteed deals. It was Marcus Thornton and Jarrell Eddy who had played
on veteran minimums.
On veteran minimums, yeah.
Sheldon McClellan and Daniel House
were the undrafted rookies, one out of Miami, one out of Texas A&M.
Yeah, so
now so Bradley Beal, John Wall, you know, backcourt 2000. You remember when Jason Kidd and Hardaway got together and they called it backcourt 2000? Yep. Is this backcourt 2020? Like, what do we call this?
What, as in Beal will play 20 minutes and Wall will get 20 points?
Well, obviously, those are your max dudes. You can't let them go. Ian
Big signing, Ian Mahimi, yeah. Got to keep him. Markieff Morris, huge, yeah. Probably one of the
and
best contracts.
It's a great contract, just like Marcus's. You know, the one, man, Phoenix did all the work for Detroit and Washington, huh?
Pretty much.
They just had to hurt their feelings by trading one of the brothers.
They just had to implode, really, and they helped Boston with Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Otto Porter Jr., I would not let go for nothing.
They like him, and we're, you know, he's starting to come around finally.
And I know you have on first hand seen Kelly Oubre stink up the joint, but I wouldn't let him go.
I would keep him. He would be the last one, only because he's young enough. And the same thing with Satoransky.
Okay, and now it gets interesting. Tomas Satoransky, who you just said, Trey Burke, Jason Smith, who they just signed. Trey Burke, they got in a trade. Andrew Nicholson, who they just signed. And then the old head at center, Marcin Gortat, who's got three years left at $12 million a year.
I would keep Satoransky simple. You know, he seems to be like a utility backup for.
Well, 3 years and $9 million of value deal. Like,
so it's, you know, here we go. Jason Smith, Trey Burke, Andrew Nicholson, Gortat. You can save one.
Wait, say them one more time for me.
Jason Smith.
Okay.
Trey Burke.
Okay.
Marcin Gortat. Uh-huh. And Andrew Nicholson. You only got one spot left, unless you want to expose Satoransky.
I would agree with you about Satoransky on second thought, but I would still protect Gortat because centers are overpaid, and that is actually not as bad of a contract as you think.
Okay.
Even though his age is a problem, but here's the thing, I think that's the kind of contract that is like perfectly timed to where. Right when that contract, it's not like Tyson Chandler where he's already over the hill because of the minutes he put in, you know, as a 19-year-old kid. With Gortat, he came in a little later. That works out perfectly where by age 35, he will probably be completely done, you know, and then you don't have to pay him any more than that, you know. So you could keep him, and then once the contract's up, just let him go. Trey Burke, I'm just not – I've soured on Trey Burke, you know, and you can use Satoransky as the backup. You know, so it's.
I would personally keep Nicholson.
Yeah, that's a tough one too. You know,
that's he. You know, because they signed Ian Mahimi, I'm like, I can let Gortat go.
Okay.
You know, obviously they don't have to pick him.
Uh huh.
So it's just a potential. Can we do without him? Yeah, because we have Ian Mahimi for the year.
Okay, and so that is going to wrap up this Eastern Conference portion of the show. But before we get out of here, let's talk about Eastern Conference players that we picked on our roster. So, drum roll, please. Adam Murray, give me your Eastern Conference players that would be on the Las Vegas FanDuels.
Okay, obviously, I would take Carter Williams.
Okay.
I need a young point guard.
Okay.
And if I have a young point guard, I need a veteran point guard who could run when the young guy fails. So I also took Ish Smith.
Okay.
Who I exposed.
And they actually both played in Philadelphia, but not at the same time.
So my point guard position is fairly set now.
Okay.
Who else? I took Justin Hamilton from Brooklyn because...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's my cheap backup big.
Okay.
Where he's proven in the NBA. As these rookies, you know, maybe Zimmerman, but...
He went international for a couple of years, for those not in the know, and he actually played fairly well in the international play.
Yeah, but he has NBA experience as opposed to... Well,
yeah, he played for the Heat. I think he won a title with the Heat as a scrub.
He was the Heat. He had a couple 10-day contracts with Minnesota, I believe.
Yeah, he played at LSU. He was at Iowa State, and he transferred when McDermott left for Creighton, and he played at LSU for 1 year, I think, and then he went to the NBA.
And then I want to take Gortat.
Okay.
But I initially had Zeller down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to stick with Zeller due to the youngness.
And we're talking about Tyler Zeller, not Cody.
Tyler.
Yeah, Cody was protected. Okay, any small forwards?
Not from the East.
Not from the East. Shooting guards?
Not from the East. Power forwards, not from the East.
So you got, wow, you're loading up on the West. All right, for me, I also took Michael Carter-Williams out of the East.
It was, you know, I think it comes down to Trey Burke or Carter-Williams. You need, you know, one potentially explosive guy.
And he's got the rookie of the year thing.
Yeah.
So you at least got some hardware to go with it, as innocuous as it is. My backup is, I agree with needing a backup point guard, so I took Trey Burke, who I had exposed instead of Gortat for Washington. At shooting guard, I have no Eastern Conference players or like natural twos. At small forward, I've got one. I took Jeremy Lamb from Charlotte. At power forward, I took the chance and I took Chris Bosh. Actually, I took three Eastern Conference players at the power forward position. Chris Bosh, Rashawn Holmes, and Tyler Zeller. Or wait a minute.
Wow, you're going to have no money left for everybody else.
Yeah, I might actually be the first. It might be the first ever expansion team that goes over the cap.
That was a tough part, is the cap is... As much as I like Bosh, well, I got 14 rosters to fill with $70 million. I can't use 45 for one, especially if, you know, you like Trey Burke. Okay, that's $4 million. Carter Williams, $4 million. Mm-hmm. Ish Smith, $6 million.
And for my center position, I took Boban Marjanovic.
Okay, so our team.
He has that George Muresan appeal to him. Like, you know, this is a shitty team, but I remember watching Boban Marjanovic, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yep,
but
it's just Boban. The problem with him is he's only played like 15 minutes a game, and he hasn't had an extended run. I needed somebody, either Zeller or Gortat, who can.
I'm just shocked that you saved 10 slots for Western Conference players. I'm almost intrigued to do the next one to see who you have. Because for me, you picked four, MCW. Ish Smith, Justin Hamilton, and Tyler Zeller. I also picked Zeller and MCW, but I also picked Trey Burke, Jeremy Lamb, Chris Bosh, Rashawn Holmes, and Boban.
Lamb, I had Lamb and Bellinelli. I kept flipping back and forth, and they were sort of my 15th guy.
Okay.
So
yeah, because there are some teams in the East that are West that are very interesting. I'm not trying to poo-poo on the East one because we went through a couple of pretty interesting discussions, but the West have.
It comes out, we're also going to have interesting discussions for the West.
Oh, there will be. So we'll actually just go ahead and kind of seep into part two for our next episode. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Riche. Stay tuned.